how thin you were. Betsy and I had been arrested for concealing Jews in our home during the Nazi occupation of Holland. This man had been a guard at Ravensbrück, the concentration camp where we were sent. Now he was in front of me, hand thrust out, a fine message. Fräulein, how good it is to know that you, as you say, all of our sins are at the bottom of the sea. And I, who had spoken so glibly of forgiveness, fumbled in my pocketbook. Rather than take that hand, he would not remember me, of course. How could he remember one prisoner among those thousands of women? But I remembered him, and the leather crop swinging from his belt. I was face to face with one of my captors, and my blood seemed to freeze. You mentioned Ravensbrück in talk, he was saying. I was a guard there. No, he did not remember me. But since that time, he went on, I have become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there. But I would like to hear it from your lips as well, Fräulein. Again, the hand came out. Will you forgive me? And I stood there, I, whose sins had again and again been asked to forgive and could not forgive. Betsy had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible death simply for the asking? It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out, but to me it seemed hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I ever had to do. For I had to do it. I knew that. The message that God forgives has a prior condition, that we forgive those who have injured us. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, Jesus says, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. I knew it was not only as a commandment of God, but as a daily experience. Since the end of the war, I had a home in Holland for victims of Nazi brutality. Those who were able to forgive their former enemies were able to again return to the outside world and rebuild their lives, no matter what the physical scars. Those who nursed their bitterness remained invalids. It was as simple and as horrible as that. And still I stood there with the coldness clenching my heart. But forgiveness is not an emotion. I knew that too. Forgiveness is an act of the will. And the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Help, I prayed silently. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling. And so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, sprang into my joined hands. And then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried, with all my heart. For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard, the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. Forgiveness. And that wraps up our forgiveness part here on Better Living. Whew. Tender, huh?
Wow.
That's true forgiveness.
Yes.
And that starts the healing, and that's what Dr. Annette Childs says. And in her therapy, she uses that as a post to begin the healing process. So anyone out there having problems, needing someone to talk to, needing to begin some healing in your life, contact Dr. Annette Childs, AnnetteChilds.com or 853-4142. Wow, huh?
Yeah, it touches the heart.
Touches the heart. And so does cancer. Let's talk about your Relay for Life. Another one coming up. I mean, there's so many of these around helping people. Look at her. You got a big tear in your eye.
I know. How do I go from that to this?
Well, because it is for better living, and this is for better living, and forgiveness of cancer is a big deal.
The older I grow, the more people I know that are affected by this disease.
Yeah.
So anytime that I can get involved with the Relay for Life, I feel very honored.
So this
is
a new one from American Cancer Society in Carson City, is it?
It is. Okay, it's the first time that they're going to do the whole 24-hour event. So that's exciting for them.
Tell us about the event. Where is it going to be?
It's going to be...
She's looking at her notes.
Yes, because I just...
It's in Carson
Centennial
City.
Field.
Okay.
Centennial Field
July
in Carson.
16th.
July 16th and 17th.
Okay.
So the people stay on the course or in the field all night. And they walk for their loved ones. They could be survivors or no longer with us. And they honor them. And we remember them as well during that time. Now, Thursday morning, I'd been asked to lead some Zumba.
Ooh!
Ooh. Yes, to get the energy back up.
Oh, that'll be wonderful.
It's gonna be great.
Is that at the end or at the beginning?
The beginning of the day and the second day.
Wow. Will anybody have energy left?
I'm going to make sure that
they will.
Yes, they will. I'm sure they will.
And then the luminaries are left burning throughout the night, which reminds participants of the incredible importance of their contributions.
Mm-hmm.
Fighting cancer, festive atmosphere. Ooh, that will be wonderful. For more information to form a team, you can still form a team, huh?
Oh, yes.
Okay, you can call 338-9577 and contact Michelle.
Org.
Yeah.
Or go to www.carsonrelay.org.
Another relay for life. Wow. There's so many people that are survivors of cancer anymore. I mean, before the big C was a death, you know, death sentence.
It seems like when I was young, it was a death sentence, and it's not anymore.
It's not anymore. Because
thanks to people like you.
Yes. Thanks to people like you, Amy, who get involved with this and celebrate the living and also acknowledge people we've lost through cancer.
Yes.
It's Mother Nature's way, you know? So many of those going on. You know, Steve Ossie has one that's going to be happening in Incline
Tahoe?
Village.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, in Incline Village. That'll be a fun one, too.
Yeah.
So if you can, go out there and do it. Relay for Life. It'll be a fun thing, and you can test your strength and how long you can stay up. And once again, contact Michelle. If you can get a team together, they really, really appreciate it. 338-9577. All right, we're going to take a break here. And when we come back, we are celebrating 135 years, Custer's Last Stand. And I've got a myth-busting audio for you that you're going to enjoy right here on Fox News 12.
Fox News Radio 1270.
Everyone has their own Cupid story. Here's mine. It all started with my phone and my downloadable app from Cupid.com. Just like any day, I was going to work and getting on the bus. While I had a few minutes, I figured I would log on. It's so easy, I can do it right from my phone. That's when I met Brian. Well, that's when I found out about Brian and wanted to meet him. We introduced ourselves online, and for a while, we were sending these instant messages back and forth, some on our computer and some on our mobile phone. I love his sense of humor. It wasn't long before we went on our first date, and because of Cupid.com, it didn't seem like a first date. Now, I know there's a lot of different ways that you can meet people, yet never in my wildest dreams did I think I would be able to meet someone on an ordinary bus ride to work using my phone and this free downloadable app from Cupid.com.
Cupid.com. Log on today. It's free to join. Are you looking for love? It all starts with dating, and now dating is even easier with Cupid.com.
Fitness for 10 offers complete state-of-the-art fitness centers as low as $10 a month with sign-ups for just $1 in Sparks, Carson City, and soon in Reno. Go to fitnessfor10.com.
If you are one of the millions of Americans with diabetes who have burning or tingling pain in your hands and feet, learn about new recommendations out on how to best treat diabetic nerve pain. A new guideline from the American Academy of Neurology finds several seizure drugs, antidepressants, and painkillers can help treat diabetic nerve pain. The strongest evidence shows the seizure drug pregabalin is helpful and may improve your quality of life. In addition, a portable pain therapy device called transcutaneous electric nerve stimulation, or a TENS unit, can also be helpful. Keep in mind, a doctor should ultimately decide which treatment is best to relieve the burning and tingling pain. For the complete list of Academy-recommended treatments for diabetic nerve pain, patient resources, or to find a neurologist near you, visit the American Academy of Neurology at AAN.com. That's AAN.com.
I said to myself, you know what? I don't have a lot of money to help people, but I do have something. I have time.
And time was the most valuable thing Alan Seidel could offer as a senior companion, lending a hand to homebound seniors and their families. If you're 55 and older, go to getinvolved.gov or call 1-800-424-8867 to find out how you can volunteer. Make a difference for generations. This message is brought to you by the Corporation for National and Community Service.
Fox 1270. Welcome back to Broadview on Fox News Radio 1270, a weekly program with updates and discussions of the issues and hot buttons of Northern Nevadans. Phone lines are open at 823-1920. And now here's your host, Jay Davis.
And welcome back to Broadview on this anniversary, 135 years ago today. Battle of Little Bighorn, Custer's Last Stand, was June 25th. It's 135 years ago. And here's some history on the real story. Sitting Bull was a visionary, and his last words before the battle were, It will be a good day to die.
These hills beside the Little Bighorn River in Montana are the site of one of the most tragic events in American history. It was here in 1876 that Sitting Bull and a combined force of Northern Plains Indians inexplicably defeated the U.S. 7th Cavalry under George Armstrong Custer.
How could a well-trained, highly mobile cavalry officer and his command, how could they be defeated by a bunch of heathen savages?
The scale of the defeat and its many unanswered questions has created a heroic myth.
The myth of the Battle of the Little Bighorn is a gallant, heroic last stand to the last man and last bullet.
The story of Custer's last stand is legendary. But did it really happen that way? Now, archaeologists, using the forensic skills of a crime scene investigation, have finally begun to uncover the evidence, revealing what actually occurred at the Battle of the Little Bighorn.
This was not the gallant, heroic last stand. This, in fact, was a gruesome, terrible affair.
The story of Custer's last stand is legendary. How the 7th Cavalry fought heroically to the